the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Good morning. This is Paul Horn with Lifetime Income. On today's show, we're going to be talking about a growing epidemic within our culture, burnout. We've all experienced it at some point, as it's become too commonplace, as we're always busy and really trying to meet our ever-increasing demands. To help discuss this topic today, I get the privilege to speak with Dr. Gerald Fishkin, author of American Dream, American Burnout, How to Cope When It All Gets to Be Too Much. Good morning, Dr. Fishkin. How are you doing?
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, just tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to write that book.
Sure. My background is this. I've been in private practice. I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and I've been in private clinical practice since 1970. When I first started my practice, I began working with police and other public safety personnel. And I was one of three police psychologists in the country back in 1971 when I really started working at the academy as an adjunct there. I was a professor of psychology at Long Beach City College. So I started working with cops. And then when I went into private clinical practice after my teaching, I ended my teaching career, I found that cops who over-identify with, many cops over-identify with their profession. And when they are forced to retire or do a full service retirement, what happens is many of them just fall apart. They decay. They wind up drinking. They do a lot of acting out, a lot of depression. I started treating a lot of clinical depression. And I started wondering, why is this happening? And for many reasons, when someone is forced to retire, you know, they leave kicking and screaming. But when full service retirement comes, they don't plan. Many of them just don't plan. And I also found that many cops and others, not just police officers, but use their homes and their equities like an ATM machine. And so what happens is they not only don't have the resources to retire, but they don't even have a plan. Retirement requires planning, just as one plans a vacation, Paul. So too, you know, one must plan for their retirement. And there's that old adage, nobody plans to fail, we just fail to plan. And I think that is true across the board for most of the people that I've worked with in my clinical practice over the last 48 years. When retirement time comes, they don't have the resources to have a good retirement. So they wind up, you know, they wind up loss of identity. I mean, there are four key features in retirement, I think, that happen. Loss of identity, loss of status, possibly reduced standard of living, and fear of the future. And so whether you're a cop, a firefighter, or just, you know, an average guy, an engineer, it doesn't matter what you are or what you do for a living, those four characteristics, identity, status, reduced standard of living, and fear of the future, that's critical in retirement. So planning must actually have to take place. That's the long story there. And that's how I came to write my book. My first book was Police Burnout. And I really did want to vet this thing, really suss out, why do these folks fall apart? But it's true for most people. You know, a doctor who retires, and I have several doctor friends who have retired, they're kind of lost in breath. You know, they're not going to the office. They're not seeing patients. They're not feeling good about themselves. And that's a big problem. These are major stress factors in retirement.
Of course. Yeah. And being a financial planner by trade, I'm really glad that you mentioned having a plan. Having a plan may not answer all the questions, but it certainly...
No, that's just the first stage. That's just the first stage. I mean, I think I've identified about 15 different things that somebody has to do that are good and healthy things to do to avoid the stress of retirement.
Okay. So earlier, I think you said something very interesting, that a lot of the police that you worked with, their identity was essentially wrapped up in their occupation. And I think that's true for most of us as we identify who we are and what we do, right? If you meet someone at a party, you know, the first question you typically ask is, what do you do for a living? So how does one begin to prepare mentally when they're no longer can identify as that when they're preparing for retirement?
there is a reality to how to prepare. And I think, you know, really, it starts with maintaining a positive survival spirit. Remember, life is always proactive, and we're always moving forward. So we have to learn to live in the present. That's one way to prepare. To remain stuck in the past can lead to significant depression or frustration with one's changed life situation. And I think that it's so important to be in the moment. I would also urge that, you know, if you're retiring, don't make any additional life changes for 6 months to a year. That each change requires us to have to adapt to those changes, and it creates more stress for ourselves. Another factor is overcoming the poor me attitude upon retirement. You know, it takes serious effort not to do the poor me and not to have self-pity because you're no longer functionally working. And others get tired of hearing it anyway, especially spouses and significant others. And I think that along with that goes, you know, overcoming thoughts of feelings of inadequacy and low self-worth. I mean, you know, we have to get past that factor, because I think that you got to get past the low self-worth. You've got to kind of look at life from a different, with a different lens and filter, not the same one we've always had. And so those feelings of inadequacy and low self-worth really come from us just saying poor me, and people get tired of hearing that. I think a couple other things, retirement doesn't have to mean forced idleness. You know, I think compulsive work patterns are frequently a sign of other psychological problems as well, such as running away from one's own psychological issues. So at times we have to learn to do nothing. And, it's my pet phrase that doing nothing is really doing something. It's letting our brain relax, letting our body relax, and we can develop a new plan for the future. And as I said, again, retirement requires planning. You know, just as you plan for a vacation, you have to plan for your retirement. There's no two ways about it. I think we have to develop a sense of personal identity away from the occupation to feel useful. And that goes to what I said much earlier about, you know, over-identifying with what you do for a living or what you did for a living.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. It reminds me of a quote from the famous football coach, Vince Lombardi. The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender.
Absolutely.
And it seems like a lot of clients that I work with, they kind of view retirement as a sort of a surrender. Have you experienced something similar in your practice?
Absolutely. That surrender goes with the next area I was going to talk about, and that is feelings of loss of power and control. So, you know, that surrender is, you know, I give up. You know, I can't do anything. I'm useless and all of that. That goes along with that poor me attitude. And some other more functional aspects here is learning to, how do you cope with a spouse who is still employed? So whether you're a male or female, your spouse, if they're still fully employed, that could be an issue, because for the retired individual, he's around most of the time. And if he doesn't have hobbies or interests or whatever, it could get very tedious.
I've heard some fun. I laugh because there's several stories I've heard. One is Jay Cutler, who is a former NFL quarterback, retired, and then got home and did nothing. He just wanted to relax and adjust, and his wife just got tired of him being around the house, told him to go be an analyst or go join an NFL team again, which he did last year with the Dolphins.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So that's what I'm talking to. So he's back in the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
Along with the psychological pieces, retirement really generally means a reduced income. So the newly retired must learn how to reduce their level of spending and live according to the prevailing financial situation. In other words, watch the overspending, which generally leads to more stress.
Yeah.
So along with that, the retiree must develop a meaning and purpose each day. You know, I studied in my doctoral program under Viktor Frankl, who wrote the very famous book, Man's Search for Meaning. And, you know, and he and Viktor informed a lot of what I do in my clinical practice. And that is, we have to have meaning and purpose, Paul, every day. I mean, whether you're retired or not, it doesn't matter. But each of us has to find a meaning and a purpose, even a small one, that helps to sustain us and get us through our day, because, you know, days can be very long when you're not doing anything. And let me put it this way too. You can only play so much golf. if you're a golfer, you can only do so much of one activity, and then it gets you know, then you put your whole meaning and purpose in that. And what'll happen is, I can guarantee, Paul, you burn out. Because a lot of the people you may be playing golf with may be retired or may not be retired, but you may feel like an outcast. So along with that, I think the retiree has to learn to develop a hobby or renew an old hobby or interest, whether it's a musical instrument, a hobby, you know, yeah, whether you're building, you know, whatever it is. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to go through a whole list of hobbies. And along with that, since we're talking about how you fill up a day, many people talk about killing time. You know, we're just trying to kill time. But it's my belief that there are only two factors, primary factors in life. One is time and the other is energy. And when we kill time, we're really burning up part of life. And I think that's not a healthy perspective to ever have, killing time. So for your listeners, if you even entertain the idea of killing time, get it out of your head. Because what's going to happen is you're going to reach the end of the road and you're going to feel really down, depressed. And you know, I liken it to being in a hole. And when you're looking up, you're still seeing dirt down below you. So you're really not, you're not getting yourself in a place that's important.
I really like that perspective, Dr. Fishkin. You know, time is the most valuable resource we have in life. And so many people, I think, have a unhealthy attitude towards retirement, where they view it, as you had mentioned, yeah, killing time, or kind of have this idea in the back of their mind that they're kind of going out to the pasture, just kind of sitting on the porch waiting for the reaper to come. When in reality, it's the exact opposite, where they finally have the time to pursue passions and interests and figure out, you know, who they are beyond just their identity and their job. You know, retirement really, in my opinion, should be viewed as a transition or a beginning of a new chapter, not the end of a book.
Well, you know, that's funny, because you pull that from my book, because I think you always have to remember that retirement does not mean a closing the book of life. It's just another chapter. So, you know, kudos to you for that. I absolutely think you're right. I think that it's a new chapter, but many people are so stubborn and strong-headed about what it means to work and to feel good and bring in the money. And then when they retire, they again, it's that very concrete way of looking at the universe. And I think we have to get away from that. And I have a couple of other tips. You know, I talked about hobbies, but what about devoting part of one's life and time to community, religious, or other activities, which can help in several ways? I mean, it allows us to give something back to our community, you know, and as importantly, it helps to take our mind off of our own life situation. You know, when we only focus about ourselves, things become really miserable. With some of my patients, over time, I've had them go work at a children's hospital, for instance, and go read to children. You know, children in hospitals, it's a very horrible situation. But they constantly need volunteers to come in and help these kids. So I think, you know, the retirees can come and do something like that. It doesn't have to be a hospital setting. It can be any place where they can be of service. Because I think being of service is critical to how you live your life. And again, you know, most people don't even consider the things that you and I are talking about right now, because they've been locked into their own world, okay?
No, I mean, that's an excellent point. It reminds me of one of my clients that was a Vietnam veteran, retired, uh-huh, didn't know really what to do. Within about 6 months, ended up volunteering down at the VA and getting involved with a group that helped current military personnel coming back from the Middle East and dealing with PTSD. Is that something he himself went right through coming back from Vietnam and making that transition?
Wow. See, that's wonderful. And I live right by the Long Beach VA, and I know we have a lot of folks that go there to help the injured and warriors. And so I think that's a wonderful thing. Wherever we can be of service, I think we have to do that. And another couple other factors here is, I think one way to overcome the despair of retirement is to communicate with another, and not to hold those feelings inside. They must be shared. And you know, that's where therapy comes in. You know, your friends will get tired of listening to you. I know that. I mean, when my best friend retired, and all he did was talk about the past, you know, as if that was his whole, he lived for what he did, and it was so big. But all he does or did was talk about the way things were. Well, when you live in a past like that, that's a key feature of clinical depression. And you have to watch that you don't stay stuck in the past, that you stay present, viable, moving into the future. You don't want to live in the future either, because that's where anxiety lives. So you want to kind of stay in the now if you can.
Carpe diem, right?
And another way to
seize the day.
Carpe diem. Seize the day. Seize the moment. And another one is to socialize with others. It's imperative that you don't isolate with, you know, feelings of pity and fantasies of the way things used to be.
I really liked in the book, you had mentioned isolation is one of the worst specters of retirement. I really thought that was extremely valuable and poignant.
Right. On my TV show, I just did a segment on suicide and suicide prevention, because it's a major aspect. Suicide ranks 10th in the nation for what does us in. And unfortunately, when people isolate themselves, all they hear is what's going on in their head, like an endless tape. And that isolation only grows. It gets bigger as time goes on. And that's where the poor me is and all that. We really have to, if I can impress one thing upon your listeners, it's don't isolate. Be in the world. Begin to do things that give you a meaning and purpose. And communicate. Communication is so important. I have probably in my career retired several thousand people. And I still am working with folks in transition. And what I find is that while they're anxious and all that, through therapy, they get to open up different aspects of their mind, their perspective. They get to see new alternatives. It's, you know, therapy is not just pathologizing somebody's symptoms. It's also there. We're also there to help move people through life, help them understand what life is about or their life. And find that meaning and purpose. Find that those things that capture their interest and make them, give them a sense of fulfillment. It's really important. I could not overemphasize that more, that we cannot isolate, that you have to find a meaning every day.
I think those are some wise words. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about individuals that are preparing for retirement. What advice would you have for those folks that are kind of thrust or forced into retirement, whether it be due to health or a job situation?
Yeah, that's a big problem. For many individuals, those that are forced into retirement often have a much more difficult time than those that can plan for their retirement. So, I mean, the planning part of it sometimes just goes away. We have to deal with whatever it was that caused them to have to retire in the first place, whether it's a physical condition or a psychological condition, maybe the company shut down, maybe they were downsizing. And that happens a lot in this world, in our world today. The predictable world goes away, and then we're dealing with, what am I going to do? Well, I think the number one thing to do is, if you're feeling down and depressed, we as mental health experts are out there as therapists to help you navigate those rough waters, to find a way. Again, most spouses, I don't think, can really deal with enforced retirement by their significant other. It's a real problem. So I think that if you're forced to retire, the best thing to do is to stop everything, take heed of where you're at, look at your finances, look at the things that, if you have to sell your home in order to downsize, that these are all options. There's no easy way to deal with enforced retirement, because oftentimes there's that the poor me gets even bigger.
Agreed. And I think that's one of the times where it's really important to know your resources, whether that's working with a financial planner to help you prepare for the financial change, working with a professional psychologist like yourself to help them deal with the emotional aspects around that. And I think it's important for people to remember that it's okay. Your feelings are okay as long as you do something about them.
Absolutely. I think that, again, it goes along with this whole business of not feeling relevant, not feeling important. And that's true. I see that as almost as like a cookie cutter across the board for most people. I just don't feel, I feel like I'm out of the mainstream of life. I don't feel like I'm part of life. And it's very scary for many people. It's very scary.
Absolutely. Any great transition is.
You know, I'd just like to throw something in about baby boomers, because I think that the baby boomers, most of them have used their homes and their equity and resources like an ATM. And I think most baby boomers live their life on the brink of financial disaster, carrying more debt than equity. And they leave themselves very little cushion for the transition into retirement. So again, it comes back to living a realistic life so that you can have a pretty predictable future.
I would agree. And this goes back to the basic problems we have with financial planning, where we want to help the 20 and 30 year olds who have decades to accumulate wealth and be well prepared for retirement. But realistically, the ones that are looking for the financial planning are those that oftentimes there may not be a lot that can be done when you're 6 months or a year away from retirement.
Right. And so I think that what you're doing here is critical. I think that it is so important that people plan for it or are able to make those critical adjustments to get out of their head and into life and understand that, again, as you said, it's not the end of the book. It's just another chapter. And it could be the most meaningful chapter in one's life, actually, because now you get to call the shots. Your day is what you want it to be. Your life is now, you know, a bit more predictable. And I think it's really important if you've got good health and good insurance, I might throw that in, because retirement age, we're not chickens anymore. So I think that we have to really understand what our financial limitations are, if there are financial limitations, and understand that you can live very well with very little, because I really think that simplicity is so important. You know, when I was a college student, I never wanted more than I could throw in the back of my car, those my books and some personal things. But then you go through college and you go get into life and you start acquiring and accumulating, and those things become your holy grail. And what I see so often is people are so resistant to give up their things if they have to. If they're going to move to a less expensive community or a different state, you got to be malleable. You have to be able to roll with the punches and deal effectively with your situation. If you don't, you know, you'll break. And we want to avoid that at all costs. That's why we're doing this today, is to ring the bell, to have like a wake-up call, to say, look, things are changing in my life. I want to be prepared for it. If I'm young, I want to prepare. If I'm older and I haven't prepared, I need to know what my resources are and what I can do to sustain my life in a healthy way and to sustain my time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've touched on a host of great topics today, Dr. Fishkin. You've had some very sage advice. If anybody wants to listen or hear more from you, I understand you have a TV show now. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. It's the Dr. Jerry Fishkin Show. That's Jerry with a G. And it's on therapycable.com. That's therapycable, one word, .com. Or if you just type my name into YouTube, all of my shows over the past few years will pop up. And again, my show is really geared toward taking the consulting room into the living room, very much like what we're doing right now, to help people, you know, navigate life, to give them tips, what to avoid, and how they can have a better life. Because I think that's the whole goal of this.
To live well and prosper, right?
To live long and prosper. But prosper doesn't necessarily mean money. It means feeling good about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a study that was just released said health was the number one predictor for a successful retirement. Successful was simply defined as a happy or enjoyed retirement.
A meaningful retirement that has meaning and purpose. Absolutely.
And I know some of the topics we touched on were a little deeper, talking about depression and shame. If we have individuals out there that are dealing with that, I want to learn more about the topic. I understand you wrote a book recently that has won many awards, going deeper into that as well.
Yeah, last year, my fourth book, Science of Shame and Its Treatment, was published, and we won the Eric Hoffer and the Forward Indies National Book Awards, all juried awards. And it was the number one psychology book last year. So very pleased with that. But I'm more pleased with the fact that people are reading it and understanding how shame factors into all parts of life, and that shame can be overcome as well. And there are steps for that. So yeah, I really appreciate the plug for that, and it's really been a pleasure being on your show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fishkin. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to speak with us about how to better cope with burnout and really deal with the stressors of retirement. Again, view retirement as not the end of a book, but the beginning of a new chapter. And to be better prepared for retirement, focus on planning, communication, and be ready to pursue some sort of passion or charitable work. Well, again, Dr. Fishkin, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope to have you on the show again soon.
Thanks for having me on your show.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.